already led to savings of over $2.7 million. And there are three sources that you can see, the red, $1.6 million. These are contracts which have existed for over 6 months. The blue part, the $908,000, are just contracts which we have negotiated in the last 6 months only. So it's very recently. And then over almost $250,000 of savings in transaction costs. So this is for the first quarter of this fiscal year. Our savings are about $2.7 million in this year. Yes, Trustee Strobel.
Yes, if I could ask you a question, Avijit, this is based on my prior experience on the procurement changes. Is something like iBuy, you know, you can identify the potential cost savings, and sometimes you fall short if you don't make the use of the iBuy process mandatory. If you give people the option to go around it or keep buying the way they are, you're never going to get to the full potential.
You have absolutely hit a very key point here. And one of the efforts we are undertaking is really to make sure that everybody uses iBuy. We do not have 100% utilization right now. Sometimes there's some genuine reasons why it can't. Could be an emergency or some situation, or the particular product was not really featured that way. But what we're trying to do is to try to monitor by each department exactly utilization, then going back and talking to the department and trying to understand why, what might have been the reason it might not have been used. So we're going to go through this process for the next few months to try to make sure. So far, for example, in our office supply, the utilization has, as I showed, has already increased very significantly, and we hope that at some point we want to reach 100% utilization very soon.
You got the point. Eh?
Yes.
You know, you've got to build in a monitoring and compliance
absolutely.
Consequences if you don't.
So we are monitoring by each department, by each contract, you know, where there was the opportunity, why it was purchased by some other means and not this, and trying to have those discussions. But your point is absolutely on target there. So this is about strategic procurement. I also want to give you a little bit about information technology. This is another group we started in August of 2010. And the goal here really is to, if you recall when we presented in June the recommendations of the ARR working group, there were a number of very specific recommendations made about how to improve the efficiency of the IT system. So this group is looking at those recommendations, other recommendations that have come from campus reviews, and basically looking at all possible ways to improve the effectiveness, and then also looking at ways in which we can improve the governance of how decisions about investments and expenses in the IT arena are made. Just an example of some of these efficiency projects, you know, for maintaining the portfolio application, consolidating small data centers. There's multiple projects like this where people from all across the campus are involved in that. This work, the group that's been charged with this effort includes members from all the three campuses, the medical center, as well as the university administration, and is actually chaired by Vice President Ngo. Okay. There are multiple, number of these projects are already underway. Our savings goal here is about $18 million a year that we want to save from annual expenses. So far, the projects that have been initiated, the projected savings from those projects alone would lead to about savings of about $8.4 million. To date, we have achieved savings of about $2.4 million recurring annual expenses that have been reduced. Obviously, these are expenses then that can be reallocated for other purposes, including supporting our academic enterprise. One of the things I do want to note that while I can, you know, it's simple for me to sort of put all these projects on a slide, these projects are pretty complex projects because real cost restructuring requires transformational change. It's not the question of just reducing expenses, but it requires a different way of doing what we are doing to be able to improve the quality of the service that we are providing, at the same time reducing the cost of offering that services. So one example, for example, is this communication platforms. We have multiple ways of communicating. Okay. The Chicago campus and the Springfield campus a few years ago moved from a Centrex landline system to a different voice over IP kind of system for their phones. which is a very more efficient way of delivering that service. Now we're trying to look at all these different kinds of communication we have. We have emails, telephones, voicemail, video conferencing, and thinking about how can we really improve this. There's so many different kinds of tools which have to be maintained, which have to be serviced. So if you think about how do we improve this ability to complete, one good example is your smartphone, right? Your smartphone gives multiple ways of communicating. If you talk about any kind of smartphone, it's a multiple ways of communicating from one implement, in a sense. So could we turn every computer in our university to such a medium? And that's what we call our unified communication system, where we are trying to bring every communication system that we have into a single communication platform. So you could use your computer to making phone calls, to do emails, to do video conferencing, audio conferencing. All of those activities could be done from one single platform. And this obviously improves service, but it also improves the cost effectiveness. So you take multiple applications and put it on a single platform, and it increases the productivity of the end user. It gives you tremendous amount of portability of communication, and it reduces the cost of maintaining the service. We estimate that a recurring net annual savings, what we're doing now, we're pilot testing this in the Urbana campus, and the recurring annual savings for the Urbana campus would be at least $3 million. Actually, it will be more than $3 million, but we are monetizing some of the savings because of the initial investments that have to be put in to put the system in there. But over the long term, your savings will exceed $3 million a year. This is a pretty complex project because so many different factors have to be taken into consideration in sort of maintaining the services. But we have a number of implementation teams which are at work, and you can see we have a very definite sort of pathway to reaching that goal. Our goal is to have the system installed by June 30th of 2012. In addition to these specific projects, another important avenue for improving services is improving our business processes. When business processes are not efficient, they add cost in various different ways. So we have multiple business process improvement projects which are underway already. Travel and expense management system, contract management system, how we manage our grants, research grants, all of these things we believe we can have better and more improved ways of doing these processes, and quite often taking advantage of technology in a better way. We expect there will be a number of other business process improvement projects which will be also initiated in the short future. I again want to stress, though, that beyond these four groups that are working, there's a university-wise emphasis on administrative efficiencies. One of the things we see is a number of different places where shared service centers are being established. The libraries in the different campuses are coordinating with each other to reduce acquisition costs. There have been a number of projects which have achieved very significant savings by the libraries. There's a lot greater diligence in making decisions about expenses, whether they be travel expenses, whether it be purchase decisions. There's a lot greater diligence and attention to trying to justify why those expenses are being made. We've had a number of new service centers, shared service centers that have been established across the university. And one way of thinking about it is that, if you see on the left-hand side of that chart, you have a variety of departments within a college which each had their own administrative support group, whether that be IT, whether that be HR, different kinds of. Instead of that, trying to consolidate into one shared service center which serves multiple departments. And this has a number of different benefits. First of all, you get consistent service levels. Quite often your service levels improve. So think of a department which has only one person supporting IT, or sometimes even that might be half of that person's job. If that person is, for some reason, is not there or on vacation or is sick, then you don't have access to service very easily. So by shared services, you always have a higher level of reliance on a shared group, as well as you can have higher levels of expertise that's feasible when you have shared groups like this, when you have sharing costs. So we have a number of these kinds of shared services which have been implemented, and it reduces to very significant cost savings. For example, one recent one was the shared service center that was initiated by the College of Engineering in Urbana campus, where 11 departments which had separate IT support groups merged it into one shared service group, and that led to a saving of about $267,000 a year, which started in January 1, that shared service was initiated. We similar kinds of examples in Chicago, in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, and also in the School of Language and Linguistics. And then the shared service centers also leads to other kinds of cost savings, like if you have multiple data centers, those being all being. And another big improvement that comes is really your space, utilization of space. You can have much more efficient utilization of space through shared services instead of having individual shared services. So there's a very great thought being given by multiple departments, multiple colleges, to look into these kinds of options of improving how services are delivered at those levels. So I want to end by saying that, you know, we are still very early stages of implementation. The results so far are encouraging to us. We know we still have a long way to go. We have a lot more work to be done, that's to be done. But the campus chancellors, the deans, and others are all very focused on this. The steering committee meets on a very regular basis. The president himself is very much involved with these projects and the progress of these projects. So we will sustain this initiative. And as the president mentioned, I wanted to also reemphasize that ultimately we need to make sure that we inculcate a real culture of continuous improvement. These can't be once and done kinds of projects. We have to be continuously focused on maintaining high quality administrative services, but delivered in a very effective manner. Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Lawrence?
Yes, so sir. Is the ultimate goal to collect all the savings and reduce the operating budget dollar for dollar? Is that where we're...
Well, savings does reduce this budget, but again, as I was emphasizing before, the savings are coming at various different levels. For example, you know, when in a purchasing, in a individual department unit there, the savings are accruing there. The savings is not accruing at one single point. Some of the savings are accruing at university-wide level, some of the savings are occurring at the campus-wide level, but a lot of the savings are really spread out, which gives those units the ability to reduce their operating expenses. So ultimately, yes, it sort of reduces the total operating cost of the university, but it's really spread out at a variety of levels.
I might just add to that, in addition to finding those ways of reducing the cost, assuming that we continue to have pressure on our overall budget allocation from the state, et cetera, is to also use those for us to, for example, to reinforce academic compensation where we've really been flat for some time. So that's another part of the utilization of the savings. Mike, you may want to elaborate further on that.
Well, we want to incent units to engage in this process, and so we will want to make sure that if there are savings at the unit level or local level, they get to share in those savings. But at the center, it's clear that, you know, I don't think we're going to see any big bump in our state support, and maybe even we could see some shrinking. So everything that we save, we can do two things with it at the center. One is to help manage any deficit in our funding better than we've been able to do so far, but also, of course, continue to accumulate the resources that we need to pay our faculty and staff. This is a very high priority, I think, for me and for the board. And it's going to be hard to pay staff if we don't get increments in support. from the state. We have to pay them with reason.